Hello, and thank you for listening to this week's podcast from our gathered services at Cross Point Church, South Orlando. We pray that God uses today's message to help fix your eyes and hearts on Christ. If you have any questions about what it means to follow Jesus, or you want to learn more about Cross Point Church, please visit us at xpoint.com. That's xpoint.com. And we pray that you enjoy today's message.
Good morning, church. It's a joy and honor to be with you this morning. My name is Justin. I'm one of the deacons here at Cross Point. And man, I'm excited that you're watching this video. I'm so happy that you're here with us. So happy to have seen some of you at Chisholm Park last week. Unfortunately, it looks like we're probably not meeting this Sunday. And so I'm virtually hugging all of you right now. But due to the weather and stuff. But man, if you're new here, hey, like, thanks for checking us out. I pray that the Lord would deepen your affection for this body, to be family with us here. And then I want to invite you to stick around for the next few weeks. We're actually starting a series now. And it's a really, other than that, it's a really exciting time to be at Cross Point too, with all the stuff that's going on, even despite virtual meetings and things like that. I think it's a really great time to be together. And so I want you to come. I want to invite you to come be family with us. At the same time, I'm praying that the Lord would deepen your affection for us so that you would want to be family with us. So if you're ready to study your Bibles, why don't you turn with me to Ephesians 3. We are on the heels of our series in 2 Corinthians, and now we move into a new season, a new focus, but not really so different than where we were in 2 Corinthians. I like to think that where we are at now is kind of a natural step. Where 2 Corinthians called for unity and restoration in the body, in this chapter of Ephesians, we're going to be looking at renewal. And we're going to be in these couple of verses for the next five or six weeks or so. And so we'll be under the series heading Renewal, Cultivating Our Hearts for Transformation. Now, if you're thinking to yourself, man, I don't know, that sounds like a really pretty way of saying revival. Well, you're absolutely right. That's exactly what we mean when we say renewal. We think of revival, right? What does it mean to be renewed? Revival is about the Trinitarian nature of God. Revival is about the refreshment or the renewal of the saint, right? And so I have to be very clear here. This isn't for everybody, right? I wish it was for everybody, but it is not. If you're here and you're checking us out and you don't have a right relationship with Jesus, you don't know where that is at in your life, you're finding yourself wrestling with belief, I want you to know now, I have to tell you now, that what we're about to get into doesn't apply to you yet. Okay? I believe that after hearing it, after sitting in it with us, both today and in the next few weeks, this can be yours too. That Jesus would call you home into his family and into a family with us. So don't turn me off just yet, okay? I also want to be intentional with how I speak about the idea or concept of renewal and revival. For some, these words, these concepts have baggage. But for others, it's a beautiful thing. Therefore, my aim this morning, okay, is to set up our time for the next few weeks to explain the what and the why of renewal. What does it mean to be renewed, and why should we seek it? So let's look at the text. Let's look at Ephesians 3. Our text is a prayer for the church to be renewed, to be empowered by the Spirit according to the will of the Father, to experience a depth of the love of Christ that is incomprehensible unless you had help understanding it. See the Trinitarian nature of revival here? Paul's desire for his people simply put, is more of Jesus. So let's read, pray, and see what the Lord has for us this morning. Turn with me, Ephesians 3, verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, we may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at him within us, at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Pray with me. Father, you are the great sustainer. So I ask you this morning to sustain us once again. I ask you that you simultaneously deepen the wells of our hearts and fill it back up again. God, I ask that you gift me with clarity of thought and speech, and gift the hearers with grace for my efforts and attentiveness to your word, for your glory and our good. In Christ's name, amen. This is Paul's second prayer to the Ephesians. The first prayer is a prayer of thankfulness in chapter 1. And then we have this one now. The reason for Paul's prayer here we see are in the verses before, verses 12 and 13. It was that the people at Ephesus were grieved. They were stressed. They were tired. There was a lot of fatigue about the world around them, but most notably, they were grieved about the imprisonment of Paul, the things happening to Paul. Paul was constantly nearing the point of death, shipwrecked, abandoned, beaten. At this very moment, he's imprisoned. And so the church is discouraged. He knows that they have so many things going on in their world. They are crushed by their troubles, under the weight of their issues. The outward circumstances of their lives were weighing so much on them. I don't know about you, family, if this feels like you right now. One more thing could cause you to faint, as Paul says in the original language here. Or if this doesn't feel like you today, I'm sure there was a day where this was you, where the finances looked crazy, where the tensions of our day just seemed too much to bear, where you don't want to get up and face today because depression or anxiety or stress were waiting at the front door of your bedroom. I don't know about you. If you've ever had to grieve for the things not directly yours to grieve, or grieve the things that were yours to grieve, life's troubles don't discriminate. My kids have been watching the Broadway musical Hamilton about 1,000 times now since it came out. Now, I don't mind. I love the show. But in the play, there is a song performed by Mr. Leslie Odom Jr., who plays the character Aaron Burr. And the name of the song is called Wait For It. And in this song, he says these lyrics: life doesn't discriminate between the sinners and the saints. It takes and it takes and it takes and it takes, but we keep living anyway. We rise, we fall, we break, and we make our mistakes. I don't know about you, family, but I resonate deeply with these lyrics. There's something special about art, isn't there, that even secular art can still preach to the believer. I resonate deeply with these lyrics. It would seem to me that the church at Ephesus too, we have been there, have we not? The desert where life seems like it takes and it takes and it takes. We've wandered it and we've weighed more and more the day, the stress of our day and time, the things going on around us. But before praying, Paul says, Do not lose heart over me, even though what I go through is for you. He says the original language is, don't faint over me. And he prays a prayer that at the heart of it should be the constant prayer of the believer as well. I'll make my case. In this prayer, he asks the Father for power through the Spirit so that Christ may dwell in the hearts of the body of the people through faith. Essentially, Paul asks for the church at Ephesus to be renewed, to be revived. And notice here, notice family, that the language of the prayer has Paul never mentions the outward circumstances that plague them. Never, not once. He never says, Lord, help the financial crisis, or strengthen the persecuted, or heal the sick. And I'm sure Paul prayed these prayers before. I mean, we see him in other places in his epistles calling us to do these things, calling us to live a life that does these things. But in this prayer specifically, he does not say that. But as a shepherd who knows his sheep, knows that this is the prayer needed for them now. Family, I will encourage you this morning that this prayer is the prayer we need now. You and I need the renewal of our spirits, a revival of our hearts. Now, if I could make a side note in the margins, if you were to picture the sermon as a book, right? I want to make a side note in the margins here. I understand the baggage that comes with words like revival or renewal. Some of us that come from a churchy background have probably experienced the place or a place where theological misunderstandings and ignorances came in the form of unbiblical methods, where poor theology met poor practice. I want to get into that concept a little later in this sermon. But for now, let me address the baggage in the room. The church I grew up in, revivals were an event, okay? They were birthed out of a desire to see the community come to Jesus, sure, okay? They were, the heart was not informed, though. And so the hands moved improperly, okay? The church treated revival as something it could control. If we held this event, if we can get the people excited, if we can bring in the special guests, if we can play music in this way and kind of stir the emotions of the people in this way, then God would move. It's an extension of a moralistic deism, okay? It's a view that says, if I do this, God does this. God responds to me. I can control God, manipulate God, control his manifestations. Blessings come when I behave, and punishment comes when I sin. If you come from that background, look at me. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That is not the gospel. That is not the family expression to which you and I have been called. I understand the hurt and the pain that those particular environments could have caused. I've experienced it myself to some degree. But family, because I love you, I have to tell you, do not throw out these biblical practices because of the unbiblical practices of others. Do not throw out forms of worship, aspects of the Christian faith. Do not let these bad examples inform your positions or open-handedness to them, but rather let the Bible, okay? So I just want to say that for those who come from a tough church background like me. Hey, I see you. I know it. The Lord sees it. He cares. But we can move forward together. All right, let's get back to it. What is renewal? Why are we talking about renewal? Because we desperately need to be renewed. We desperately need to be seeking after it, praying for it personally and together. Renewal is something we should be seeking while at the same time holding intention that it cannot be scheduled. It cannot be predicted or guaranteed. It is a sovereign work of God. It is God stirring the hearts of his people. It is an act of grace. Notice Paul's language. He's asking for what he wants God to do. This is petitionary. This is a request to God. But notice more, family, the objects of what God is asking from the Father. He's asking for things these people should already have. In this prayer, we see clearly the what of renewal and why we should be seeking it. Let's break this down. Look at verse 16. What is renewal? That he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. It is the strengthening of your inner being. Look, no mention of any outward difficulties facing the people at Ephesus. And I believe that Paul is doing this for a very specific reason. Paul is prioritizing the inward life over the outward life. Family, I ask you the question now. Does your life that you live prioritize the strengthening of your outward life or your inward one? This is the question that is asked at the heart of renewal. To which life do you live to strengthen? Tim Keller says, if your inner life is strengthened, then it doesn't matter what is happening in your outward circumstances because you can move towards them in strength. If your inner life is in tatters, though, then it doesn't matter what your outward life is or what's happening in your outward life because then you move towards them in weakness. The absolute priority of the power of the inner life, the power of the life which you are able to know God, have communion with him, is the point. Family, the issue is this. If you are too busy to seek the strengthening of your inner life, then church, the question that can be asked after is, what leg do you stand on in your complaints to God? If you have forsaken the life that you've been called to cultivate, right? Are you living for Christ? Are you full of the Spirit's power? Are you communing with the Father? Being strengthened by the reading of his word, praying and fasting? Are you aware that God restores your soul, as David says in Psalm 23? Paul prays for the strengthening of their inner lives. To not be compelled by the outward circumstances of their lives. And Paul knows this well, doesn't he? His physical frame is falling apart. From all the travel, all the hurt, all the beatings, all the imprisonments, his body is failing. And he doesn't say, oh, that's it, I quit. I'm going to retire away. I've done all the work I could do. My body is at its limit. That's it. I'm pulling out. He doesn't say that. 2 Corinthians 4:16, he says, so we don't lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day after day. I don't lose heart. This isn't a suggestion. This is a statement. Paul's saying, lose heart because of what's going on, because of what's going on around me, because of what's happening to me, because I'm sick, because injustices plague this world. Lose heart. No, I don't do that. No, never. That's what this is saying. He's saying my flesh will fail. My body will fail. The world will fail. But God is my strength and my portion forever. Because my inner self, my inner man is being renewed day after day after day. It's not something I can do for me. This is not something I can will to happen. Paul's saying, I can't do this. God is doing it in me. So why must we seek to be strengthened? Verse 17 says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Isn't it odd? Isn't it odd, family, that Paul is both saying this needs to happen and this already has happened, right? In Colossians 2, 9 through 10, Paul says, for in him the fullness of the deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him. This is amazing, isn't it? That when you come into the kingdom, when you are saved from your eternal separation from God to an eternity of agony for your sin, when God saved you, you experience the fullness of Christ. However, he tells the church, a body of believers meeting together, he tells them, you've already received the fullness of Christ. You need to receive it again. You need to be refilled. They need that fullness once more. Family, do you need to feel that fullness again? Do you need your heart to be filled again? Do you need your affections stirred once more? You cannot say, I experienced it once, I've experienced it already. Because that's not what Paul is saying here. He's saying you've had this once, your inner man needs it again. This is not lofty claims. The inner man language is addressing the heart. Now, let's put that into perspective. Tim Keller, who I'll pull from again here, says the heart in the Bible is referring to the center where mind, will, and emotions meet. It is in all three spaces that the inner man represents. The heart is where theology manifests itself in emotion and practice. Okay, mind, will, emotion, all three things being exercised, experienced, engaged. Okay, if you have all the knowledge, family, if you have all the knowledge, but no emotional connection to it, nor the putting to use of the things you know, it hasn't sunken down into your heart. If you have all the emotions, okay, but not the knowledge or the actions, then it hasn't sunk into your heart either. You're just interacting on an emotional level. If you have all the actions, but none of the mind or the emotions, then still your inner man has not been strengthened. You just do because it is your duty to. Mind, will, emotions. I mean, hopefully this illustration does it justice. About 5 years ago, my wife and I visited the Waimea Canyon in Kauai. I couldn't believe something so beautiful existed, like nature-wise, right? We took so many pictures of the landscape, videos. I mean, we tried to captivate every aspect, all right, of this canyon, the waterfalls, the height of the mountain, the lush forests, the rocky terrains, how the river meets the ocean. I mean, we tried to captivate it all. And we would come home, okay? And we would try to show all of our friends these pictures, these videos of this canyon. We would be like, just look how beautiful it is. And people would say, like, yeah, like this is amazing. But we were always not satisfied enough, right? You know this feeling because you've said these words. You've said the pictures don't do it justice. You gotta go for yourself. You have to experience it. You have to see what you know to be true, that the canyon exists. You gotta go see it. You gotta do it. You gotta feel the wind on your skin. You gotta smell the salt in the air. You gotta feel that little bit of vertigo from being way up too high. You gotta feel the awe of having it in front of you, your mind, your will, your emotions, all engaged. The pictures don't do it justice. It's only connecting with you on a mind level, but it hasn't sunk its way into the heart. Family, we need to be captivated like that again. Paul is saying, you need that again. What else is renewal? Well, verse 17 says, it's being rooted and grounded in love. Not only is Paul praying for strength of the inner man so that Christ would dwell in the hearts, but he's praying for them to be rooted and grounded in love. Family, I ask you, are you rooted and grounded in love? Church, love in our day today, especially in the Christian community, has been seldom. It's been hard to find. I look at believers' interactions online and in person, and my heart breaks for the lack of love. The way I see the discord between our denominations, I think, is this the love of Christ? The way I see our brothers and sisters in the faith hold up confessions and creeds but not care for the one they made to their church, I think, is this the love of Christ? The way we ridicule people who disagree with secondary and tertiary issues, I think, is this the love of Christ? The way we've treated our sisters in the faith, women who called out toxic cultures within church settings, who challenged secondary and tertiary issues, have we told them to go home, go away? I wonder, is this the love of Christ? When I see the hills we choose to die on, I wonder, is this the love of Christ? Family, to be renewed is to be rooted and grounded in love. Why? Verse 18 and 19. So you may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Family, you cannot be filled with the fullness of God until the love of God has changed you. Paul says, I want you to be grounded in love, rooted in it, so that you can comprehend again its breadth, that it is as wide as east to west, loving arms spread wide to embrace you, so that you can comprehend again its length, that there's no place you can go where it cannot reach you. You can't outrun it. You can't distance yourself from it. You cannot escape. God holds on to you. He keeps you so that you can comprehend again its height. How high did Christ go for you? How low did Christ go for you? He was in heaven and he came down to earth for you. He was on earth and he died so that he can ascend to the right hand of the Father for you, so that you can comprehend again its depth. He went to the cross for you, experienced the wrath of God for you, died the worst death humanly possible, was forsaken by the Father so that you can be kept by him in his spirit. How deep is his love? So deep that he wants to make you his. Why do we seek revival? So that you can comprehend again the love of Christ and be filled with it. Family, they should have had this already. I'm sure they thought that too. I'm sure they thought to themselves when they received this prayer from Paul, they saw that and they said, they probably had a posture of, man, we got that already, don't we? I'm sure that they thought that once they were filled once, they never had to be filled again. But Paul is praying that they would. And I want to close with this. Family, this wrecked me. We need to be renewed. Pray for renewal as humble as Paul did on his knees. He says, for this reason, I bow my knees. Did you know that in Jewish custom, to pray on your knees was not normal? You prayed standing up or pacing around. To pray on your knees showed significant need or desire, significant petition to God. You prayed on your knees when you really needed God to show up. Okay, that's cultural context for the text. Paul says, I bow my knees. These people need to be renewed, oh God. This is humility, utmost humility. Or else, church, or else, and I'll finish with this warning, we'll find ourselves as the church at Ephesus did in Revelation 2. I want to credit my brother Jared, who on Sunday at Chisholm Park reminded me of this text. Grace to you, brother. Thank you. But Christ speaks to the church at Ephesus directly. In Revelation 2:2-3, Christ says to this church that Paul had prayed for the renewal of their inner man, that Paul would pray that their hearts would be renewed, their mind, their will, emotions, all three, the center of which he prayed for, humbly sought after. This is Christ's response to them later on. Christ says, I know your works, your toil, your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and not. You found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake. You have not grown weary. You're like, just where's the warning? Hold on. Jesus affirms the actions, the will of the church at Ephesus, right? He says that you guys are hard workers. Okay, you're persevering, all right? We like that. We like grit. We like endurance. It makes for a good person. This church was full of fortitude. Jesus affirms their mind, okay? They knew right doctrine. They were gatekeepers. They fenced the table. They defended truths. They were passionate about it. They tested apostles and found them to be false. Jesus says, y'all are brilliant workers. Y'all are brilliant workers. But then he says in verse 4, yet this I hold against you. You have forsaken your first love. The church at Ephesus had lost the meaning of the love of God. The love they experienced when they first believed. He says, you have forsaken your first love. That means they had it before and then they didn't have it anymore. That means when Paul said, I want your inner man to be strengthened, oh, they only saw that as the will and the mind. They didn't see that as the heart. They thought, I don't need to be renewed again. I already have the fullness of God. And Jesus says to them, no. Family, let us heed the warning of Christ. Let us not trade renewal for tactics. Let us not trade the revival of our hearts and the hearts of our church family for right thinking on secondary and tertiary issues. Let us examine ourselves. Let us repent. Let us continue to pray daily. Seek for the revival of our hearts, for the renewal of our inner man. Let us not forsake the love of God. Instead, let us hold fast to it. Repent as Christ called the church at Ephesus to repent. And then Christ warns them. He says, if you don't repent, I will break this church. I will disband it. The light of Ephesus will go away. Family, it is time for revival. It is time to seek renewal. While knowing it can't be scheduled, it can't be predicted, we can't force God to move. This is something we pray for personally and communally. I don't want you to miss this, guys. Paul prayed for the revival of these people. And I'm going to draw this as a conclusion. This isn't explicit in the word, but from what I picked up, it seems like these people didn't pray it for themselves. Your shepherds can pray for you. But we have to pray for it for ourselves too. I want to pray a prayer that Charles Spurgeon prayed over his church. When he was speaking on revival, he was praying for his church to be revived. And I want to pray that prayer with you too. So excuse the old English. Children, ask your parents what this meant. But I want to pray this together. He says, "Oh God, send us the Holy Ghost. Give us both the breath of spiritual life and the fire of unconquerable zeal. O thou who art our God, answer us by fire, we pray thee. Answer us both by wind and fire, and then we shall see thee to be God indeed. The kingdom comes not, and the work is flagging. Oh, that thou would send the wind and the fire. Thou wilt do this when we are all on one accord, all believing, all expecting, all prepared by prayer. Lord, bring us to this awaiting state. God, send us a season of glorious disorder. Oh, for a sweep of the wind that will set the seas in motion and make our ironclad brethren, now lying so quietly at anchor, roll from stem to stern. Oh, for fire to fall again, fire which shall affect the most stolid. Oh, that which fire might first sit upon the disciples and then fall all around. Oh, Spirit of God, thou art ready to work with us today, even as thou did then. Stay not, we beseech thee, but work at once. Break down every barrier that hinders the incoming of thy great might. And give us now both hearts of flame and tongue of fire to preach thy reconciling word. For Jesus' sake, amen."
Thank you for taking the time to listen to today's message. We pray that it was a blessing in your life. And if you do have any questions about what it means to follow Jesus or about Cross Point Church, please visit us at xpoint.com. And please feel free to subscribe to this podcast. We are updating these messages every week following our gatherings on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Thank you, and have a great week.